We are continuing the Easter series this week, which is called Feeling the Way Jesus Felt, in which we're talking about what it was like to be Jesus. Not just everything that he went through, although we'll obviously talk about that. Not just the importance, the sacrifice and everything, but just what it felt like for him. And last week we talked about the fact that he knew it was coming. He's talking to the disciples and he's like, hey, this is going to happen. And they're like, yeah, sure, we got this. And it's not that they didn't believe him. It's just that they didn't fully understand, because if you see somebody do all of the things that Jesus did and you knew how impressive he was and you knew that he was God, you just cannot imagine him dead. And so they didn't understand. And so Jesus' feelings was like, were constantly him doing everything good, doing everything helpful, explaining things, and then never really getting anybody to understand him. So this week, I'm going to go to John chapter 18, verses 1 through 11. And this is him in the garden. We're getting closer and closer to his arrest. This is actually where he gets arrested. This is after the prayer where he prayed to God and he cried blood and all that stuff. After saying these things, Jesus crossed the Kidron Valley with his disciples and entered a grove of olive trees. Judas the betrayer knew this place because Jesus had often gone there with the disciples. The leading priests and Pharisees had given Judas a contingent of Roman soldiers and temple guards to accompany him. Now, with blazing torches, lanterns, and weapons, they arrived at the olive grove. So basically, everybody knows this story. Everybody knows Jesus gets betrayed. They know Judas is one of the 12 and that he was with him every day. And so we talk about that. But imagine that this is somebody who you're with every day, like a family member, basically. Somebody who's really close, like a brother. And even though they probably weren't like best friends, still, you're with somebody every single day. You talk to them, you help them, you share with them, you feed them, you teach them, you do everything you can. And then they come at you with soldiers, like they betray you. Even knowing, as Jesus did, that this was going to happen, even knowing that Judas just was mistaken and didn't know what he was doing and was messing up, even knowing all of that, it had to break his heart so much to see this. And it had to be difficult because he's talking every day and he talks to the disciples. I've talked a lot about the fact that he washed Judas's feet along with the other disciples. So he still loved him and he still cared for him and he probably still had hope for him. And yet here Judas comes and he's got soldiers, and Jesus sees this and he knows that it's about to happen. He knows he's about to suffer. He knows his followers are about to suffer, but he sees that it's somebody he cares about. And I want to go to the next part where we're talking about that. Jesus fully realized what was going to happen to him, so he stepped forward to meet them. "Who are you looking for?" he asked. "Jesus the Nazarene," they replied. "I am he," Jesus said. Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. As Jesus said, "I am he," they all drew back and fell to the ground. Once more he asked them, "Who are you looking for?" And again they replied, "Jesus the Nazarene." "I told you I am he," Jesus said, "and since I am the one you want, let these others go." He did this to fulfill his own statement. "I did not lose a single one of those you have given me." So when I was coaching tennis, we would do the drills and stuff, and I was never one to let people win, like even in the drills. Like, the point is to win. For everything that I do, the point is to win. That is not to say I can't lose at things, because I can, because I'm old. But everything I do, everything I've always done, I go in wanting to win. So I'm never one to go in and like, oh, I'm just going to really pump up Caden here, and I'm going to let him have the win and really help him to feel good. I'm like, I'm going to beat him. Like, that's what I want to do. And so, especially if I'm better than somebody, like, especially if I'm, like, going to play one-on-one basketball with Beatrice, like, I want to beat her because I'm way taller. I can block every shot. She can't even get to the goal all the time. And so I want to win. I don't want to make her cry, but I want to win. And so it's not like I'm going to let her all of a sudden win. That's what Jesus is doing here. Like, he has more power than all these people. Even just saying, "I am he," they all fall down because they're terrified, because they had heard stories. They knew him. Judas had probably told them, "Hey, yeah, this guy we're going to arrest. Either way, he just brought a guy back from the dead and then healed somebody else's eyes and he walked on water and he did some other stuff. So, you know, watch yourself." And they're like, "What? What? Like, what are you talking about? We don't get paid enough for this." And so Jesus, just by saying, "I'm he," by standing in front of his people, by trying to cut this off, by giving himself when he didn't have to, he shows his power because they're terrified of him. And so it would have been so easy for him to just say, "Yeah, this isn't happening, guys. I do have to die to sacrifice myself, but I'm going to do it on my terms." He could have done that because he had all of the power and everything that he needed. And none of them could have stopped him, not a single one. But he stood up and said, "It's me. I am the one you want." He was, even in that, sacrificing himself, showing that just because you have the power doesn't mean you constantly have to use it, because it's who you are that matters. And he's showing that even as he's betrayed, because most of the time when we do our worst things, when we mess up the most, when we hurt people, it's because we're hurt. Like, there's a saying that hurt people hurt people. And so if we get hurt by somebody, especially somebody close, usually, not all the time, but usually we'll go off and we'll hurt somebody else or we'll make somebody mad. It's kind of like if Rob's boss goes to him, just really lays into him for something that Rob didn't do. Well, Rob's ticked off, you know, he's embarrassed and he's hurt. And so he goes over to Cooper's house, just really lays into him and talks about how bad a ref he is and just yells at him. And so Cooper, he's like, man, this sucks, and he feels bad. And so he goes over to Micah at band and he's like, man, you just suck and this is awful and this is the worst. And so Micah's like, man, I just really got to go for somebody. And so Micah goes to Caleb's house, his brother, and he just like totally tears him down. I'm doing a weird thing. And so he goes and he just tears him down. And Micah goes to like a little kid that he sees walking down the street. And he's like, hey, you're so stupid, you can barely walk. And like just tears into him. And so that little kid goes and he kicks a puppy. Like it goes downhill. And then we got Rob back involved. But then it goes downhill. It's like when somebody is really mean to you, when somebody really hurts you, you feel this temptation to go and hurt somebody else. And it's not really a cruelty, although you're being cruel. It's because you are hurt and you weirdly want somebody else to feel what that feels like. You want to feel good again by tearing somebody else down, which never works, but it's what we do as humans. And so if you're in this situation where you just got betrayed, and then all of a sudden like they're like, hey, will you come with us? You're not going to go quietly very often. You're at least going to yell and scream and say, this is so stupid. Like, I can't believe you're doing this. Like, you're going to really get shut down here later. And like, you're going to just trash talk and do all this stuff at the very least. And yet Jesus just said, yeah, it's me. And I tell you what, I've never lost one of my followers because I protect them and I love them and I'm protecting them right now by just giving myself up like this, even though I don't have to. And he just goes. And the next part continues to go into how he feels. Then Simon Peter, who was one of the major disciples, probably the major that we think of, drew a sword and slashed off the right ear of Malchus, the high priest's slave. But Jesus said to Peter, put your sword back into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup of suffering the Father has given me? So Peter, who had been with him just like Judas and with all the other disciples, he sees this. And in his heart, he's like, I can't believe Judas did this. Because he probably had no idea, whereas Jesus kind of knew it was coming. It still hurt and it broke his heart. But Peter's like, this guy, he eats with me. Like, we played ball the other day and we took down those Pharisees in that game of 2-on-2 and we're just awesome. And I can't believe that he's doing this. And then he's like, Jesus is just going to go. He's going to sacrifice him. I'm not going to allow that. Like, Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is everything. I'm going to stop this. And so even though every single thing Jesus ever said was about nonviolence and about peace and about love and about hope, Peter grabs a sword and he cuts off the guy's ear and he's ready to fight. He's like, we're going to start this revolution now. This leads to him denying, which we'll talk about at some point probably, but this is also shows why the disciples just couldn't understand. So most people that believed in a Messiah believed that he was going to come and set up a kingdom on earth. They thought he was going to take over Israel, and he was going to take over Rome, and everything was going to be peaceful for the Jews there, and everything was going to be fine. And even though the disciples would sit there, like you guys all do in class, and they'd listen, and they'd take notes, and they'd be like, Jesus, we got this. When it came to test time, they're like, oh man, I was kind of playing solitaire, not really super taking notes. I don't really remember what was going on. You know, I was thinking about something else. And so they don't quite get it. And so when the test comes, he tries violence. And Jesus is like, what are you doing? This is literally the opposite of what I said to do. And so he heals the guy's ear. And he's like, this is not how we do things, Peter. And so Peter felt shamed. But Jesus in that moment had just been betrayed by two people. We talk about the Judas betrayal. Everybody talks about the Judas betrayal. But Peter betrayed everything that he believed in right there. And so even though Jesus knew, and he knew everything that was going to happen, he knew he was going to come back from the dead, and he knew Peter would eventually get it, in that moment, he had to feel like this sinking in his heart of, I've just poured so much into all of these guys for 3 years to teach them, to prepare them to follow in my steps when I'm gone. And two of them have betrayed me in like 3 minutes flat. Like, one of them brought soldiers and arrested me, and the other one just went straight to violence. What's going to happen when I'm gone? And he probably, even though he knew all of this, felt that, because even though he's God, he's also human in this instance. And so he felt hurt and he felt just so broken in that moment. And yet, he did not stop. That is what makes him our example, is he did not give in to the brokenness. He did not give in to the sadness. He did not give in to the fear. He did not give in to the anger. He said, Peter, we don't do this. Judas, you're making a mistake, but just take me. I will go protect them. And he did everything exactly like he always had. And that's what we see with Jesus. When Jesus felt happy, he treated people awesomely. And he loved them, and he helped them, and he healed them. When Jesus felt sad, he treated people awesomely. And he loved them, and he helped them, and he healed them. When Jesus felt upset, when Jesus felt hurt, when Jesus felt anger, when Jesus felt disappointed, when Jesus felt frustrated, he treated people the same. He loved them, and he helped them, and he healed them. That is the example. Absolutely, the fact that he died for our sins is vital to Easter and why we are Christians. But the fact that he did things like this when he felt hurt, like last week, when he felt misunderstood, he just kept telling them. He didn't say, I've told you this 100 times, I'm not going to tell you one more time. He said, okay, let's do this again. And here, when he gets betrayed by 2 of his followers, he's not like, I give up. Like, come on, guys. You just don't get this. Why am I doing this? He's like, I love you both. Pay attention. And then he went and did the right thing. That's who Jesus is. When we talk about Jesus, that's what we should talk about. So many people, they follow the commands, or they try to follow the commands. They try to follow the checklist, and they go by the things. It's like, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. You should look like this, you should look like that, etc. But what Jesus did was just love everybody. It does not mean that he didn't do the right thing. It doesn't mean he didn't have morals or values, because he did, obviously. But he loved the people regardless of what they did, regardless of who they are, whether they were arresting him or going against his ideals or whatever. He still loved them, and he tried to teach them. And that's what we're supposed to do. That's what Easter is supposed to be about. It's supposed to be about becoming a Christian and having that salvation, but also about showing Jesus to this world that needs to see it, about showing that everybody can have that love because he already loves them, that nothing can separate them. And so even when we're sad, even when we're hurt, even when we're betrayed, even when we're angry, it does not mean not to feel those things, but it means don't take it out on other people. It means be who you are even in the worst of times. Be who you are in the best of times. Be who you are all of the time. And show people that this is the Jesus that you follow. This is the Jesus that shows love. This is the Jesus that brings hope. And that's what we bring to the world too. And that's all I got.